Where in the world did the idea for this book come from?
Barry was sitting at breakfast one morning reading obituaries with his wife, and he started talking about how obituaries were a great way to find out about people's lives. And they were thinking about what other people they'd like to learn about, and they realized they weren't limited to living people. And what they'd really like to hear about are some fictional people, such as Holden Caulfield, Gulliver, the Flying Nun, Sally, Dick, and Jane. And that was the inspiration for the book.
So all of this is fiction.
Yes.
How long did it take you to put it all together?
It was about 6 months of, you know, nights and weekends and putting the book together. Interesting story, we worked remotely because Barry is in Boston and I'm in New York. And so this was a product of the internet. This was done on Skype and Google Docs, and that's how we put it all together.
Of course, it looks like a whole bunch of actual obituaries sort of taped into the pages here from newspapers, and that's part of the fiction.
Right. Barry's vision for this was to have a scrapbook, and our publisher, I think, did a great job of really giving it that feel.
I love Herbie the Love Bug. Dead at 40? I mean, where did that idea come from?
Well, if you look on the page on the left, there's a little predecessor to that where Benji is unfortunately run over in the Disney studios. Herbie is the culprit here, and while faultless in the event, he's feeling very bad about it, and Herbie ultimately puts himself in his garage and leaves his engine running.
Well, I think one of my favorite pages, and it goes on for a little while here, is Phil Connors, who is the weatherman from Groundhog Day. And he doesn't die once. He dies many times.
That wouldn't be right, no. Yes, thank you. That's a favorite of mine as well. And the storyline there is, of course, much as in Groundhog Day, Phil lives his days over and over again, only evolves them. And so on the first day, he dies of one thing. And the second day, we read his obituary again, and he's survived that, but he dies from something else. And a third time. And finally, on the fourth time, you'll notice in the newspaper headline, the masthead, it becomes February 3rd. He's actually progressed on to the next day. And then there's an unfortunate accident on their drive back to Pittsburgh.
What about the title of the book, Mr. Ed? I mean, is that one of the first ones you thought of? Why did you pick Mr. Ed?
We just thought that was just so emblematic of the book. It really, I think, captured the idea of this being pop culture. Everybody knows and loves and likes to hear about. And that was how we came to that selection.
Who's this book for? Who do you think would like it?
I think people would like it who read a lot or enjoy pop culture. You know, we asked ourselves when we started the book, do we really want to reduce this to the lowest common denominator? And we decided no. We really wanted to make something that was witty. You had to understand what was going on in the world. It's not just a walk down memory lane. This is really inspired by Doonesbury and The Onion and The Daily Show, because while we talk about characters, we also satirize the characters, the actors, and current events.
A lot of people like to give the book as a gift. Do you think they'd make a good gift book?
We love him. I'll tell you the truth, Marianne. When we started writing this, we said, let's make a book that people want to share. And the feedback that we've gotten time and time again is that people not only share the book, but they call people up to read them selected obituaries. And so, yes, we're thrilled that this is being shared now by WVXU.
Some people would say obituaries is kind of a funny topic for a book that's humorous.
Yeah. Well, Barry and I actually gave a speech at the convention of the National Society of Professional Obituary Writers last month. And that was a very entertaining event. And I truly mean it. These are people who write obituaries, compassionate obituaries all the time, but they're often asked to include humor. And we gave them some pointers on how to do this. You know, I think that it's possible to talk about the demise and particularly of characters and take some liberties with it.
Let's talk a little bit about public radio. This is obviously a time when we're working to raise money for the end of our fiscal year and to make sure that we end up in the black. What role do you think public radio plays in a community, and why should people support it?
Well, in the most selfish context, I'll tell you, I think the important role is it keeps people informed. And I say that's selfish because if you write satire, you'll have no audience if people don't really understand the issues. And so, you know, I personally, of course, like to stay aware. And, you know, my interest goes beyond the headlines and, you know, what I hear in sound bites. And so really letting people understand the story behind the news, I think, is critical.